podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do, we'll be looking again at 2 Timothy. And much of our reading will be from the third chapter. Again, the last time I was with you, we looked at being a good soldier and what it means to be a good soldier in Christ. Continuing that, as we look at the importance, the application, and the authority of God's Word, His Holy Scripture. So with that said, if you found 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's read a few of these verses together, and let's stand together and reverence God's Word as we read. Verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. See if this kind of characterizes our day, by the way. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, still going on here, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, we're still continuing, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I want to skip down, we'll come back to some of these other verses, but I want to skip down to our last few verses there in verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God, and I'm paraphrasing, and woman, may be adequately equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the study of your word. Show us and reveal to us what you would have us to see and learn. And we trust you and give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. As we talked about last week, the rules of engagement, the wonderful thing, and the choir sang about it this morning, we sang about grace. See, the wonderful thing about the rules of engagement, it's not about a bunch of rules. Because Christ loved us so much and that he gave himself for us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. It's by grace. It's a gift. We accept it. And once we've done that, we're in. We get to spend a glorious eternity in heaven with him if we've accepted that faith, if we've accepted that gift. However, as a Christian, it doesn't end there. Once we accept him, we still want to live the best life we can. And he gave us his word, which is our guide for faith and practice. So if he gave this to us supernaturally, when I read a while ago verse 16, did it say some scripture? Did it say the scripture I really like? Or did it say, I think I believe that Genesis is from God, but the rest of this? Or maybe I believe in John 3:16. What did it say about scripture being inspired of God? Some of it or all of it is inspired by God. Isn't it important for us to learn what he wants to tell us about? And so this morning we're going to talk about having a relationship, because that rule of engagement, really it comes down to rule instead of rules. Our ruler is Christ, and our rule in matter of faith and practice is following him. And he even said when he came to this earth, they asked him, what's the greatest thing I can know or learn or the greatest commandment to keep? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And he said the second great commandment is like it. He said love your who? Neighbor as yourself. And if you'll do these things, you'll follow all the law. You'll follow the Ten Commandments. So we're going to talk about loving God and loving our neighbor. We're going to talk about relationships this morning. One of the most important scriptures in the Old Testament, and I've given you, if I think it's probably in the bulletin, some supporting scripture that you can look up and study on your own. So if you're not able to follow along, you'll still have that. But I want you to see that as we something from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. It's referred to as the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. And to the Hebrew, to the Jewish person, this is probably one of the most important pieces of Scripture. And it deals with three things, but we're going to begin in verse 4 there in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Listen to this. Teach them diligently. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So the three things he's really telling the people here is, one, there's only one God. And two, you want to worship that God with all your heart. And here they're talking about they believe that the heart was the seat of all the mind, the will, and the emotions, all the senses. You want to love him with all the senses, every bit of you, if you're going to have. And then it tells us, thirdly, how to have a relationship with this God. It tells us how to love him with all our heart, to utilize all this. He says, does he say just read, you know, some scripture maybe once a day for 5 minutes? Or when you go to bed, maybe read a little bit, maybe pray with me a little bit. No, he said, teach them diligently to your children, and you'll talk of them when you sit in your house, when you're walking, when you lie down, when you get up, all through the day. Now, clearly, I don't want you, when you're driving a car, with the steering wheel in one hand and the Bible open reading scripture in the other. Not a good idea. So how are we going to have that scripture to where during difficult times it comes to our mind? How we better study it, we better meditate on it, we better memorize it so that it's with us all through the day. And this is the important thing about learning about relationships. And as we think about that, I wanted to share with you a little bit that some of y'all might can relate to. Growing up, I used to love to go to the country where my grandparents live. And the beginning of the week was always a little bit tough, though, because, and y'all may think this is strange, young people, my grandparents didn't have a television. Can you imagine that? So I gotta confess, the beginning of the week was a little bit tough because we left the world behind, the big city behind, with all its conveniences, and no TV. I mean, and this was the age before cell phones and all the other gadgets y'all got, but no TV, come on. But by the end of the week, it was amazing because, you know, you forgot about the TV by the end of the week because you were too busy climbing the tallest trees, discovering new places, roaming about and learning. And one of my favorite things was in the evening. My grandparents had a big front porch. And in the evening, everybody would gather on the front porch. Family, extended family, friends and neighbors who were around. And you just enjoyed each other. You enjoyed the relationship. You enjoyed the company. I can remember sitting there, and you might be doing a little bit of work. You might be, usually if my grandmother was around, you were doing a little work. You're shelling peas and shucking corn. You're just doing something. But we're all telling stories, and we're talking. We're listening to all the different critters outside and using your eyes because every now and then some critter would walk up. I wonder what that was. I don't know. All you could see is his eyes. And so then you'd play the guessing game. I think that's a rabbit. I think it's a possum. I think it's a bear. You know, you're just going on and on. And then you'd wander out and maybe try to catch fireflies in a jar. Some of y'all still probably do that. And if you're really bold, you went after June bugs. And as a child, I used to hope one of them would get in my sister's hair, because then we'd have a show. But you enjoyed the times. Every now and then, you'd smell something if the window was open from the house, and it was some goodie that my grandmother had cooked. And so you'd take in all the aromas. Maybe a goodie was coming out there before too long, a fresh baked pie, maybe some homemade ice cream. You just enjoyed sharing and laughing. If somebody had a funny joke to tell, it was just really getting into the relationship. You were using all the senses. And those things I will never forget. No matter how life gets, how difficult it gets, difficult times, I'll always have those memories because they're treasured in my heart. And so I ask you this morning, where is your treasure? What things do you treasure in your heart? One of the ways we keep from sinning, Psalm 119 talks about the Word of God and how important it is. And verse 11 says, "Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against God." And further on in verse 16, it says, "I'll delight in your statutes, so I shall not forget your word." So delighting in God's word so that we don't forget his word during difficult times. And I think we would all agree, some of the things we read, whether we agree or not, that these are the last days. And some theologians believe, as Paul was instructing Timothy, who was going through difficult times, he says it's going to get worse. He was talking about the latter days in the church. So a lot of these things characterizing some of the people during these difficult times, actually, these were probably church leaders he was talking about. He said the church is going to get this bad. Can you imagine church leaders being characterized by some of these things? Treacherous, reckless. Verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Some of the interpretations have more, but the original was rather than lovers of God. In other words, some of these church leaders during the end times of the church, they're actually maybe not even going to love God. They would rather have pleasure elsewhere. And so, again, I ask this morning, where is your treasure? What do you hide in your heart? What do you spend time on? Verse 5, during these difficult times, as the church, during its latter times, during its latter days, a description of, in verse 5, they will hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And that godliness can be translated either religion or mysticism. Do you think we have a lot of unusual mysticism and things today? There's a preoccupation with the supernatural today, isn't there? I mean, it's amazing. We talked about this, I believe, last week, but you can turn on the television and there's all kind of different shows. I heard this week, by the way, and I'm going to ask these young people if they've heard of that. This blew me away. But they're talking about, because they think the influence of some of the new movies like Twilight and, you know, vampires and wolf people and all that, the undead. You know what the latest craze is with young people? They're biting each other. Have y'all heard of that? And they were saying on the news they're going to have to start educational programs for young people to teach them not to bite each other because of all the diseases they could contract. Young people, I can have you an educational program real quick. Don't do it. And by the way, girls, some boy bites you, you tell your daddy. Because your daddy will teach about vampires. He'll go Batman on them real quick. But I've just never heard of that. But as we get toward the end times, apparently we're going to be more and more preoccupied with some of these things, but denying true faith in Christ. He even gives some illustrations of several instances of people who fell gullible because of their immaturity in the faith, because they weren't grounded in his word. They weren't grounded in true teaching. Verse 7 says, "Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth." We're told as time goes on that knowledge will increase and increase and increase. And that's one of the characterizations of the end times. And by the way, don't run out of here saying Jim Stanley says it's the end of the world. I'm not saying that. End times could be any of that messianic period from the time of Christ's first advent to the second, till the church, till the end days of the church. However, Scripture does clearly tell us some of these bad times, perilous times, difficult times seem to will be more on the increase as we go along. Do you think the difficult times seem to be more on the increase today? But knowledge will also be on the increase. Let me tell you something. Science and knowledge from biblical times, I'm talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob times though, until the time of Christ, doubled one time. From the time of Christ to around the 1890s, it doubled again. Some of you and your grandparents in this room My grandfather saw knowledge double again from around the 1890s to 1970. You think about what that generation saw. They saw electricity first being really utilized. They saw the telephone first being utilized. The electric car, the automobile coming off the assembly line. The aeroplane. And then from the aeroplane, they saw what? Who landed on the moon? Man landed on the moon. I mean, all that in a generation, knowledge doubled again during that time period. Isn't that amazing? And I can remember hearing so many people that said, that's it. There's no new discoveries. During the 70s, they were saying this. We've discovered it all. We've got it all covered. There's no new inventions, nothing new in life. Do you know how much knowledge now in science increases? You know how often? Almost yearly. That gadget you buy today is obsolete tomorrow. We were talking about this the other day, dial-up internet. It seems like the horse and buggy days ago, you know. You know, you'd send somebody a big file, you said, well, wait till lunch, you know, before I get back for that thing to download. That was just a few years ago. And our knowledge has increased, but this is a quote from Billy Graham that I wanted to mention a few years ago. He said this, man has far exceeded, listen to this, has far exceeded his moral ability to control the results of his technology. We can invent all kind of stuff, and we really don't invent anything. We just discover something that God had there all along. But, you know, we have all kind of weapons of mass destruction, don't we, where we can blow each other up, but yet it's far exceeded our moral ability on knowing how to control it. That's why we have wars and rumors of wars, and it's getting worse. It's amazing what man is capable of doing to himself. And then in the area of communication, we have all kind of ways to talk to each other. Our communication has increased. We can type, we can text, we can tweet, we can do all these things. But guess what? What has happened with the increase of communication? Where are our relationships? Have they increased? Our relationships are way down here. They said the greatest generation, one of the things about the greatest generation, and that was the generation that went through economic depression, they went through the Great Depression, then World War II. One of the things that characterized that generation was their tremendous coping skills because they weren't exposed to a lot. Matter of fact, even going to World War II, what 19-year-old, you know, is equipped really to handle what that generation saw, even 19-year-olds today when they go to war. No one's necessarily ready for that. But yet they had tremendous coping skills because of their faith, because of their family, and because of their support units. They were able to get through those difficult or perilous times. They weren't exposed to a lot. They didn't see the things that we're exposed to. Young people today, it's quite the reverse. Young people today, and this is our fault, we've exposed y'all to an awful lot. Y'all know a whole lot more at an awful younger age than we did. You know, biggest thing we got in trouble for in school when I was growing up was chewing gum, or once in a while somebody got, the big sin was if somebody got caught smoking in the bathroom. Boy, that was bad. That was real bad. But it's terrible the things y'all are exposed to today. But this is what you're exposed to today, but where are your coping skills? And that's all of ours. I'm not just picking on the young. All of our coping skills are way down here. And that's because our relationships are awful, you know? Our personal relationships, our business relationships, but most important, our relationship to our Heavenly Father. So that when these difficult or perilous times come along, we're not prepared. We're not ready for them. I go back to that front porch relationship we got to have with our family. And if you take nothing away from this, and I'm talking especially to all you young people this morning, time, there is no substitute for time. When you are spending time with your friends, with your family, sometimes it's important to put the cell phone aside, to put the computer terminal aside. Because God gave us all our senses to use. I'm losing my vision. Some of y'all know that. And so sight is very precious to me. there is no substitute for sin. The beauty of trees and grass, we take those things for granted. The beauty on a loved one's face, being able to hold them close and look at them. Your friends when they're talking to you, to make full and complete eye contact. You miss so much when you're texting and typing and doing these other things. You don't hear the emotion. You don't get to see them, what they're really saying. You don't get to almost like reach out and touch the aromas around you. Those memories that go into the heart that we treasure, they're the most important things to us. God wants that time from us. He not only wants our personal relationships with our friends and family to be like that, to where we're using all the senses. And I'm not telling you these devices are evil. Don't go away from that. They're not. But we can use them for evil if we're not careful. We can misuse. But don't ever let those things, the gadgets we have, don't ever let the world take the place of what God has given us. Don't ever take those things for granted. So knowledge will be on the increase. But Paul says here to Timothy, verse 10, now following my teaching, conduct, purpose, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, sufferings. Oh, some of this sounded real good. Faith, follow me in these things. Follow me in the faith and the love. But now he talks about persecution, sufferings. We don't want to hear about that. But he reminds them, they happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. He's telling them, boy, I really endured. Out of them all, though, look what he says, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. See, the Christian life, we're not promised a bed of roses all the time. Things will get difficult. You will have difficult times, difficult circumstances. Matter of fact, the Christian church, more and more today, even in our own country, we've been blessed that we haven't seen it persecuted a lot, but we can see it on the horizon a little bit, and those things will increase. And imposters, deceiving others, will increase. And the Antichrist, those who proclaim themselves to have all knowledge and all truth, will be trying to deceive. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will proceed. Does it say will get better? What does it say? Bad to worse. It's going to get bad to worse. It's bad now. It's going to get worse. You know, we don't want to hear those things. But people, look around what's just happened. Let's forget about the rest of the world. If we just focused on what's happened in our country the last 10 years, it's bad to worse. You know? But there is always hope in Christ. It only takes one righteous generation to turn things around. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven, I will heal their land. So there is always hope, and our only hope is in Christ. And our guide for faith and practice is in Him. Because when difficult times come, we don't want to fall by the wayside. I've heard it said that trouble, perilous times, difficult times will build character. Well, it does, but it also reveals character. You know, the type of background you had, the type of education, the type of learning, you will fall back on what you know at those difficult times. And if your family support unit is not strong, if your faith is not strong, you will fall during those perilous times. And so, I can't put a rule of thumb as we go back to what I said in the beginning in Deuteronomy. How much scripture should I learn? You know, we can't get enough of God's word. According to that, if we follow that, you cannot study it enough. You cannot meditate on it enough. You cannot memorize it enough. Because when those difficult, perilous times come, you're going to fall back on that scripture if you're well-grounded. You're going to fall back on the things you've learned. And this is what Paul was saying. You learn these, verse 15, from your childhood. He learned them from his mother, his grandmother. He learned them from his mentor, Paul. He said, you're going to need to fall back on those things. But the most important, more than all of that, is the sacred writings that give and lead to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why he said all Scripture. And by the way, the interpretation, the original translation from the word inspired is God-breathed. Our Scripture is God-breathed. And it's profitable for us if we will spend time on it. Who do we let teach us and train us? We let the Word, because it promises it'll profit us in teaching and reproof, which is also convicting. For correction, it will correct error, and to train or disciple us in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, you may be complete, you may be equipped for every good work. So my question to you this morning is, are you adequately equipped in all your relationships? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Are you struggling in those relationships? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? Are you struggling with that relationship? If you don't feel like this morning you love God enough, then maybe you need to spend more time with Him in your prayer time and in His Word. Have a front porch relationship with our Heavenly Father. He wants that relationship with you. And it's the trickle-down effect. If your relationship is what it needs to be with God, it's amazing. Your relationships with your fellow man will be so much better. All the pleasures that we think we get from the world, God can show us a whole lot better time. He can make those relationships better. He can make food taste better. He can make us feel better. The Scriptures heal. We're told in Proverbs 3 that it's medicine for us. It's health to your navel and marrow to your bones. So not only is it spiritually good for us, it's healthy. So again, I ask this morning, what is your relationship with Him? What do you think about? Where is your treasure? Do you treasure those wonderful things in your heart? Or do you go to other places? We're given, in closing, a wonderful example. Theologians believe this is almost like an autobiography of Christ. But in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8, you know, what do we spend our time doing? What do we spend time looking at? Do we spend time looking and reading and listening to good things or things that aren't going to help us in the long run? Finally, my brethren, verse 8, whatever is true, Christ is true. Whatever is honorable, Christ is honorable. Whatever is right, Christ is right. Whatever is pure, He is the only pure individual that ever walked this planet. Whatever is lovely, Christ is lovely. Whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell or think on these things. What are you thinking about this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you just telling you we love you, and we know that you first loved us and you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. You loved us, and you indeed are the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to you, Father, but through your Son. I pray that if there's someone here that has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, that this morning would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, if there's someone here that needs transformed, your word in Romans 12 says that if we need transformed, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed and let you renew our minds. Help all of us, Lord, as Christians that are here this morning, to renew our minds in you and allow you to transform us and allow you to complete us. Do with us as you would during this time of invitation. We'll trust you in it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.